Welcome back to the If You Build a Podcast. I'm your host, Riyad, alongside my co-host, Will Ellis.
Hello.
And our newbie, Saman Habibi.
Hello.
And he's going to sing for us to get initiated into our podcast.
We're not going to do that. We're starting off with a very special guest, someone who I've been following for a long time on social media because his stuff's just phenomenal. I would just go as far as saying if you're in the space of, or if you're in the realm of looking to advertise, whether it be billboards, anything advertising related, I think there's one guy to know is probably Nick from AdsWorld. Thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Amazing.
Will, amazing. To you.
Well, thank you. Well, I'll ask the first question because I, you know, watch some YouTube videos.
For sure.
Learn your social media. How do you get here?
It's a lot of coffee. It's a lot of stress.
Yes, you know, on your website, I love this. You have, you know, 500 plus happy clients.
Yeah.
634 plus campaigns launched.
Yes.
309 plus social campaigns and 1,035 cups of coffee.
So let me tell you why it's 1,035. Yes. So I used to work at Z103.
Yes.
So I'm like, you know what? It's perfect. Let me, you know, somehow tie it in.
Right.
So 1035.
I like that.
A lot of people don't know that story, but that's the actual story behind it.
Yeah.
But,
so tell us your journey here.
For sure. So growing up, my whole passion wasn't actually supposed to go into media at all. I was supposed to become a chef because my dad's a chef. So in high school, my whole 4 years of high school was geared towards going into culinary. And obviously the programs I took and everything I kind of was shaping up to go into was, food nutrition and just like all the basics, came to a point where I was talking to my dad about, you know, when I want to go into culinary, he said I wouldn't go into it at all. He kind of suggested me not to go into it, which was kind of heartbreaking because at the same time, that's what I've been trying to go after, but I still decided to go towards it. I applied at, George Brown, for pastry actually. And when it came to getting accepted, I was number 31 of 30 to get into the program. So it was kind of a very competitive program to get into. And I kind of just left it. And at the same time, I didn't really want to take a pause from school. I wanted to just continue going post-secondary. And at the time, I was DJing just for fun. And I thought, okay, you know what? Radio broadcasting looked pretty cool. So I applied for radio broadcasting at Loyalist College in Seneca, York. So, and like a bunch of other schools. I ended up getting accepted by Loyalist. Accepted the offer because no one else accepted me at the time. I accepted on a Monday. Wasn't really too excited because it was so far. I had to live on residence and all that. Accepted it on a Monday. On a Thursday, I get an exception from Seneca York. Accepted the program. Thought, okay, you know what? I'm just going to start off just doing this until maybe first semester, and then I'll transition to George Brown. Ended up getting in the program. That program was also competitive. 30 people in each class. There was like 100 people in the interview process. Made the 30. Got into it, did it for about first semester, really liked it, and kind of just forgot about culinary and everything in that aspect, and just worked my way from there. Got an internship at Z103, which I was mentioning earlier. Applied at a bunch of different radio stations, and none of them really accepted me just because they didn't have programs and really just hard to get into. Did my 100 hours that you needed for internship for the program, and then I got hired part-time. So I think I was about 17 years old at the time. And I was actually getting paid to work at a radio station that I did my intern hours.
What were you doing at Z103?
So I was doing promo. So all the events that you see in this in the city. So whether it's car dealerships or festivals or concerts, I'd always be there setting up and driving promo vehicles and just doing like swag giveaway and just taking people's information. All the stuff that you see everyone doing, that's what I used to do. That being said, did that. And then while I was in school, I was getting paid. I was actually hiring all my friends to come as promo staff as well. So I was giving them intern hours too. And then graduated, finished the 2-year program, and kind of was on the fence about what I wanted to do next, whether it's going into university to get a degree or just going into another role. I was doing promo for about a year and a half, and then I realized that the money wasn't where I wanted to be. And while I was in school, my mentor, who actually passed earlier in the year, he was the one who kind of told me, listen, if you want to make money, you got to go into sales. The whole being on air stuff is not going to make you money. It's fun. You're going to have to start from a small market. It's going to be complex. So, at the time, Z103, I was working. I tried to set up a meeting with my sales manager at the time. And he's like, listen, come on in. We had a meeting. He's like, listen, I don't think you're ready. You have no sales experience. I think I was 19 at the time, super fresh, into life. And, he said, go and come back. I think it was about 4 or 5 months later, went back again. And he's like, listen, you still don't have experience, but We have a seminar coming up in the next 2-3 weeks. If you can secure X amount of space for the seminar, we can look at hiring you potentially. So put on my suit the next morning, went into this whole meeting. Everyone's dressing super casual. I'm there in a full suit thinking, you know what? I need to dress the part. And I started hitting the phone and I had no clue what I was saying on the phone either. So I started listening to the guy next to me and I'm just taking down notes of like, okay, what has he said? Like, you know, let me try to learn from him. Started saying all that and just reached out to the network that I had of just people that worked on my car, or like my barber, or like a friend that opened up a business. I ended up securing like over 25 people to the seminar. They ended up showing up. Out of the 25, I think I sold 3 or 4 people. It was close to $100,000 in sales in my first week. No experience at all. I didn't even know what radio ads were. I don't know anything about sales at the time. And I remember my last exact client that I had, he purposely told my manager, he's like, the only reason I'm signing this is because of Nick. I have no interest of buying this. I'm only signing this because of Nick. So it was all based on relationship. And mind you, I only knew the guy probably for like 3-4 years. So the relationship was fairly new. So that happened. I kind of joined the sales team there for about, I'd say like 3 years with the company for about 5. And while I was doing sales, I was DJing for them as well. And I was voicing for commercials for 25 plus stations. I did commercials for Wonderland. I did commercials for Kia, Nissan. I did a lot of commercials for the clubs. So it was just kind of the lead way into it. And that's something that I really enjoyed because I obviously went to school for it. So did that for about 5 years at Z. I actually gave my notice for 2 weeks on the 5th year, on the day I actually got hired 5 years later. And my manager had a meeting with me and she's like, okay, well, we're going to recap, you know, your weekly sales and all that. I'm like, listen, here's the paper. I'm going. And she got super upset and I left on good terms. I didn't burn any bridges, which I never would. And I went on a vacation, came back.
Where did you go on vacation?
Dominican Republic. I was actually DJing in Dominican Republic. Yeah.
At the Chic Punta Cana for Z.
Yeah, Punta Cana. Yeah. No, not for Z actually. It was separate. But I got booked because of Z, funny enough, because they're like, oh, this guy's a Z103 DJ. I'm like, yeah, of course I am. So I ended up, I came back. I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to start something. I was kind of confused. I didn't know if I wanted to go into starting selling media or if I wanted to go into car sales. I was kind of just confused at the time. I came back. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do a radio agency.
And when was, what
this
year
is this? Around 2018, October 2018. Okay. Came back. And okay, I'm like, okay, you know what? I want to start selling media. So whether it's radio, TV, I think that's where I kind of started off with. And then as time went by, I had a couple inquiries that came through for a billboard. And had no clue what a billboard was. I'm like, okay, I didn't even know you could sell this stuff. Like I knew a little bit about it, but I wasn't too knowledgeable in it. So ended up selling a campaign to a client and the client ends up backing out. And I'm like, okay, client backs out, give him a refund. I get a refund. That wasn't the case. So I gave a refund for close to $8,000. Yeah. I wasn't able to get that refund back from the vendor just because they're like, it's a final contract. It's a last minute contract. Keep in mind, like I just started Oddsworld. $8,000 is a lot of money when you start off a business. So I tried to figure out what I could do and that kind of sparked the motivation to now figure out billboards. So from that day that that happened, I started pounding the phone, trying to get people to sell billboards. And it was actually easier selling billboards than it was to sell radio. Because people can actually see. It's very similar to real estate. You can see where the billboard's situated. Yeah. You don't have to tell them, oh, this is the ad that you're going to hear on the radio. It's just you're selling airspace. Versus a billboard, you're actually, okay, it's that Young and Dundas. This is the location. Perfect. Let's buy it. So ended up doing that. And then it just kind of picked up. And everyone kind of started branding me as the billboard guy. And now they'll contact me more for billboards than anything else. But it's just obviously all the services that you can offer.
Wow. Yeah.
It was a mouthful. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think where to go next, still right? Cook?
Of course.
What you like? You were. I mean, you grew up cooking, obviously.
Yeah, of course. I'm always around food. Come on,
do I look? Well, I don't cook well. But look at this, right?
Did your dad have a restaurant or anything? Or?
Yeah, so he used to have 2 restaurants in Vancouver. He had a Mediterranean restaurant and a pizza spot. But when we moved to Toronto, he kind of shifted and went into a different industry. But yeah, it's cooking's always just been a part of the household and just kind of how the family gets together. So,
would you say your creativity came from the culinary?
Yeah, it definitely does. And I think it goes vice versa. Just the things that I put into the dishes that I like to make are kind of creative based on clients I see. And obviously the people that I work with a lot of restaurants. So kind of see what they're doing. And my best friend's also a chef as well. So it's just, I'm always around food at one sort of way or another. And then, yeah.
So you said that you knew you wanted to go into sales, right? Or, well, I wanted to ask one thing before we get into sales. You said that your dad didn't want you to go into the same line of work that you went, that he was in, right? And I think that's pretty like consistent with fathers and sons and kids. Do you think that was a good decision?
For like, sure. And he obviously came from a place of just caring and love, because he saw the hours that he'd have to put in owning a restaurant. And he said, pretty much, you're not going to have any personal time with the family or just even for yourself. And I see it, because my closest friend, like I said, is a chef. So I see the hours. He'll call me at like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night on his way home. And he doesn't really have too much of a personal life just because he's focusing on the restaurant Monday to Sunday.
Yeah.
So I see it, and I thank him for that. And I don't think it's too late to ever get into that industry, whether it's opening up a restaurant or somehow being involved in a restaurant. So I think it kind of happened for the best. And I love what I do now. So,
and then going to the sales topic, right? So you went into, you said you wanted to, you knew that you wanted to do sales. Was that solely like money driven? Do you like the process of getting sales, getting clients, or is it like it's a rewarding career? That's why you want to get into.
So when I started off, it was obviously, I was very young. It was really money driven. Just because I'm like, oh, I'm going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if we swear actually. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
So it kind of started off with the money aspect, but then as time grew and I kind of started doing it, I'm like, okay, you know what? I actually genuinely care about the clients. I like the process of starting them off and trying to help them and see where it's going to grow. I love, like an example is a restaurant client that I have. They had no logo, no website. They had no clue what their brand was. I've helped that restaurant now build a brand and they're known all over the city. And it's just rewarding knowing that you've helped someone and you've grown their business and they're actually making money and they're happy and, you know, they're expanding. So I think that to me is more valuable than the money aspect of it. I work with small clients, big clients, so it doesn't really affect me in that sense. Like I won't say no to a smaller client or a bigger client, but it's just more the sense of happiness that you get from helping someone. So, and I think it's a little bit deeper rooted than just sales and making money. I think I genuinely like to help people. And I think that's what helps me push through days and just, I love what I do. So
what's the name of the restaurant?
It's called Martin's Grill House. It's a Portuguese restaurant. Yeah.
I've been there.
I mean, I think that is not the foundation of sales though.
Yeah.
You know, supporting people.
For sure.
And whatever, you know, their goals are. Now, is there a difference between a big client and a small client?
Would be just budget and just goals that they have. Bigger clients, typically, they're not too picky on, I guess, where the dollars are going. They have the corporate dollars, let's say. So they kind of just have an idea as to where things are going to go versus a smaller client who has a quarter of that budget, needs to make sure that every single dollar counts. And they're a little bit more calculated than, I guess, the bigger corporations. Not to say the bigger corporations aren't, but a small business owner who has, let's say, $5,000 to spend wants to make sure that $5,000 is going in the right place and wants to see a return and wants to see every single aspect from A to Z versus a big time client. Like, okay, this is what we want to achieve. You can show us. Okay, cool. If not, like we have to restructure and go another path. And it's kind of just, it's not going to hurt their pocket.
Right. When we spoke, you said trust.
Yes.
How do you, a mom and pop restaurant, how do you go in there and build trust? I think that would be very hard.
100%. And a lot of these mom and pop restaurants are very old school.
Right.
So explaining to them social media or advertising on the radio, they're like, what is this? Like, I don't need this. I'm used to people calling in. I don't need to be on Uber. I don't need a website. I don't need that online presence. So it's kind of showing them what we've done for other clients and giving them the value. I think people are so driven on money and the transaction that they forget about the value component behind it. And the value is what will sell it. You don't even necessarily need to sell it. And that's not my motto. I don't like to sell things. I like to kind of just show you this is, these are your options. Do you like it? Amazing. You don't like it? Okay, what do you like? How can we tailor it for you? And just go from there. Nobody likes to be sold. People hate salespeople. As bad as it sounds, it's true. We're all in it. So people like value. And if you can provide value and build trust with them and make it less transactional, that's when you're winning. So
go ahead.
So was there, you talk about the moment you went into billboards. Was that your defining moment?
That would be the defining moment, yeah. Because losing that 8,000 and kind of getting screwed over on that was that, I guess, that fire that that got me motivated to just push into that kind of, I guess, division of the business. And then from there, I kind of expanded into, okay, you know what, let's do out of home. Let's offer this, not just in Canada, not in the US, anywhere in the world. So we're able to do that for any client all over the world. So that's kind of the spark that kind of started it.
Your story's kind of, it's very interesting because I don't know if you had trouble getting into these programs, but it seemed like you were just about to get in, but you didn't get in. But then you look at your resume, like you ended up in very prominent spots. Like, you know, at your age, how many kids are trying to get into Z103.5?
Yeah.
You know, and you get in. And then you know, how many people would want to leave, you know, a big radio station to start their own. So I feel like your journey, is it all calculated? Like, you know, did this all happen?
No.
Like, were you in the right place at the right time? Like, how did all this happen? Because you go from having trouble getting into school, you get into school, you get into a big company, big radio station, and now you have a very successful business. You know, this is all like...
I guess it's all just God's time, like, sort of thing. So that's just how it worked out. So
yeah,
like, I was supposed to go into culinary, and then ended up getting into school. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I wanted to be an on-air host. While I'm doing on-air, we were learning about LinkedIn and Twitter and all that. I ended up connecting with a gentleman named Tony Monaco. And I sent him message on Twitter, actually. Sent him a message. I'm like, where are you going to be this weekend? He's like, I'm going to be here. Happens that the guy that was there was the hiring guy for the team. Ended up meeting him, going to a meeting with him. And it kind of just all flowed from there. And then just talking to people at the station, telling them I'm interested in voicing for stations. Then they ended up choosing me for certain things. And just leveraging what I had when I was there. And realizing that it came to a point where I only am able to offer one power radio station and I want to do more for my clients. And that's essentially why Azrael got started.
So how competitive is the space of billboards in say the GTA? Like how many players are there? Is there a lot of big players?
So there's maybe like four or five major vendors. And obviously they have their own specific locations. But in terms of space wise, some locations are high demand and they're typically booked out in advance for like a year or two. But it's just all case by case. So,
and you spoke earlier that you do worldwide.
Yeah.
And you talk about, you know, laws and bylaws. Do you have to learn every single country's bylaws? And
so as obviously like the request comes in, you kind of have to figure out, like, for example, we had a campaign request for one in Dubai. They're very particular on what the ad can go up. And the process of submitting things are actually very costly. They charge per submission for the creative. So if, let's say, we were to submit a creative of all you guys for a real estate ad and it didn't get approved, they wouldn't tell you what the issue is. That's the funny part. You'd have to pay it. And you got to keep trying. And they'll give you like maybe a small pointer, but you still won't know. So we had a client who submitted a creative 5 times. They spent, I think it was close to like 350 USD per time. It ended up costing equivalent to what the campaign was going to run for a day. And it got rejected. And at the end of it, the client was only able to put a logo and just a website. And that's it. Nothing else. And that's just the rules. But then, for example, Toronto, Dundas Square, for example, we had a client who was a boxer, like these two brothers that are boxing a bunch of like other people. So they're just in the boxing field. And they wanted to put up a billboard just of them literally holding up two fists. And they got rejected. Because the landlord of the board didn't want to have that up. So we had to transfer them over to another board. This is like maybe 48 hours before their campaign ran. So the stress and the anxiety, you can believe, popped up. So there's different restrictions. Some billboards in the city, they turn off after 11 p.m. till 5 in the morning just because of restrictions to condos, like the ones on the Gardner. So it's all case by case. When you go into finding out more info about the location, you'll obviously find out what the restrictions are. Toronto, Canada, we can't accept cannabis as a client, but the US can. They have specific locations that can, so it's all case by case.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Your personality, how did you know that you would be the guy that would be selling when you were sort of, you know, like how did you know that you'd be that guy?
So when I started, I was nervous.
Right.
I was nervous getting on the phone, but as time went by, you kind of just put that aside and you set up almost, I guess, like alter persona, where it's like, this is the person you're calling. And then from there, rejection kind of just doesn't faze you. And then that kind of accepts, I guess, transforms to other parts of your life. So it didn't obviously start off with me being a guy that's so comfortable talking or anything like that. Like,
but how did you get comfortable though?
Just over the course of time. The course of time, just talking.
Did you take any courses? You didn't take?
Not necessarily, no. Just obviously having my mentor there and he kind of helped me and the people that were around me that were also my mentors.
You still have a mentor now?
I have a couple older guys who've been doing sales for a while, but my biggest mentor, who was the guy who got me into sales and was the reason why I did it, he passed away not too long ago.
Right.
But he was a gentleman who always helped me push and just kind of gave me the courage and just the push just to continue it when others didn't really think I was able to do it and were trying to put me down and just not accept certain things. He was the one who would just come and just say, okay, you know what, whatever you need, I'll push. And he was doing sales for like 50 plus years. So
same field?
Same field, yeah.
Okay.
So who was he and how did you meet him?
So he was my professor actually at Seneca York. His name was Jim Craig. He set up a lot of the stations in the city, whether it's jazz stations to top 40 stations. And he used to do a lot of consulting on the side. And he actually taught the sales course at Seneca York. So he was the one that essentially put me in the sales program first and then kind of just started to keep me in all the programs while I was there. And every time he'd have a guest speaking opportunity for the kids, I'd always be the first person to go in and guest speak because nobody after, I guess, a certain period of time graduated and went into sales. Everyone kind of just went into on-air or production. So it was very rare that we found someone that was actually in sales and started an agency. And he kind of started an agency when he was younger as well. So he kind of saw a lot of the things that I did in himself when he was younger. So shout out to Jim. He's looking down on us right, now. Sure. Solid guy. And He was a natural sales guy and he didn't believe in selling. It was always based on relationships and just building that connection with the person. So
in terms of AdsWorld, let's talk about AdsWorld. So just give us a sense of how big AdsWorld is from a maybe like, you know, how many projects you do a year, how big is your team? Yeah, just give us a...
So team-wise, it's myself and four other people, whether it's designing or sales, we kind of have a team set up for that. And then in terms of project wise, it kind of just all depends. Some months we'll have projects that are, let's say, close to like 8 to 10 projects. Sometimes it'll be like 1 to 5. Sometimes the 1 to 5 is on a bigger scale than the 8 to 10. But we're pretty active. We do a lot of the campaigns in the city. A lot of times if you are looking for some sort of advertising, you have bumped into us. And I don't mean to be cocky by any means.
Yeah.
It's just we've done so many campaigns that we get a lot of referral bases. And we just do cool campaigns for ourselves. Like a lot of the campaigns we do in the city are just fun. And we just like to collab with our clients as well and do some funny campaigns. And that's what works. And that's what people like. Nobody likes a serious ad. They like to have fun. And
so how do you measure the success of an ad?
When I'm getting a lot of PR and a lot of news outlets are reaching out to me and saying, okay, you know, how did you even think of this? That's when you know, like, okay, you did something right. And when people are talking and when you have haters and lovers, it's, you know.
Do you have an example? Can you give us an example of you getting PR?
Yeah, I'm curious. What's like, can you think of your most popular ad or your one that you always remember or one that...
So we did an ad for that Portuguese restaurant, Martin's Grill House. So when Kyle Lowry was leaving the Raps, we did a campaign saying, if you stay with the Raps, we'll give you free chicken for life. And we were actually giving away 500 chicken sandwiches at Dundas Square, and their ad was running on Dundas.
Wow.
We ended up doing that. CP24, CTV, everyone picked it up, and it just went viral. And we just kept that going. We did it for 2 weekends. And then we were kind of on this wave of, okay, you know, let's do some cool campaigns. And then that was one instance of
was the TV picking it up? Was that organic or was that by design?
They reached out to us. Yeah.
Okay.
They reached out to us. They credited all of us. And the restaurant owner was happy. We got a spike in sales. We got obviously haters saying, oh, well, why are you giving away free chicken to people? You should be donating it to homeless. Like,
of course, you can never win.
So, we did that. It was cool. And then about 3-4 months later, we tried to get a big news outlet to write a review about us or like kind of a blog about us. They tried to charge us. The client didn't want to spend it. So I had to get creative. We had a billboard that we did for the client. We purposely made a mistake on the billboard. And it happened that it's in the realm, I guess, of one of the editors where she lives. She ended up writing an article about how we made a grammar mistake. So we got free PR for not even anything. We didn't pay for it, nothing. And that week they did crazy in sales and it was all because we said best Portuguese chicken period. And then we put a dot after the writing period. And apparently that's grammatically error and all that. And, you know, and she went off about it and this and that and tagged us. And we got free PR and blog deal for no reason.
So who comes up with this idea? Like, do you guys sit in a room and come up with these ideas? Or?
So it's myself a lot of times. Yeah. I try to get creative. Driving, I'll get creative. I'll write some notes down. A lot of the ideas that come to mind are in the shower.
Where's the inspiration?
Comes a lot. Just sitting down having a cigar, just getting with some friends. Even sometimes just talking to clients. I'll be talking to them and I'll get an idea and I'll just write it down. Mm. I'm always just constantly thinking about ideas. And I have my designer as well. She obviously comes up with some concepts and ideas as well. But it's just different day-to-day things that I see that just give me some creativity spark. And yeah.
So are you at a point where your business is mainly inbound or are you guys still like cold calling, trying to get business?
We cold call. when in terms of cold calling, we don't really like it just because nobody likes to get cold called. So we'll do a lot of outbound on social media, or just email, but a lot of our business is referrals. And that's how we do our, most of our business, but we obviously are outbound.
And so do you have a designated salesperson, or do you do that?
So it's myself and two other individuals. Yeah.
And
so,
their sole job.
Me, myself is obviously working with some of the more advanced stuff, which these guys are not so knowledgeable in, but whether it's like a new chain of locations coming to the city, trying to obviously get them, or if it's a new client, or if I see that something cool is popping up in the city, I'll try to reach out to them. But I like to always stay on top of things when it comes to like trends and new locations, new businesses. And
you guys ask about trends. Yeah. Well, what trends are you seeing in your space?
Everything's shifting towards digital. The static and the traditional billboards, like the print ones, are kind of getting phased out. Digital is the way to go. A lot of digital is in the city. It's just kind of getting the client now used to and have them adapt to digital, because it's a new concept for them, and explaining to them what an impression buy is, and you know that they're only going to be up X amount of times versus a board where they're going to be up all the time is kind of challenging at times, but eventually they'll start to understand it. And when that wave decides to go fully digital, then they'll kind of be on board. And
Are people surprised that you suggest print?
Yeah, they are sometimes. I don't like to sell it a lot just because it's pricey. Right. But sometimes.
Is it pricey versus digital?
Are you talking print newspaper, or are you talking print?
Billboard.
No, it's not necessarily. Sometimes the static, which is the traditional print, is cheaper. But keep in mind, you can probably hit more locations with digital because you're doing an impression buy. So there's wins and losses for both sides, but it just depends on location. For example, a market like Niagara doesn't really have too many digital boards. They do, but they have tons of static. So in a market like that, you're obviously going to push the more static side. So it's just all based on what the client needs and what their preferences, and also what their market that they're looking for is. So,
but, wow.
So how do we find you in social? How's somebody going to find you online? Or
personal, it's Nick Ara. And then the business is AdsWorld, ADZ World. We do everything from A to Z. That's why it's called ADZ World. all the other platforms, ADZWorld.ca, advertise here with a Z.ca. That's pretty much it.
Have you seen any challenges with your kind of, with your company down the road, or any, you know, new things on the horizon for your company?
Like disruptors coming into your industry?
I guess it would be the more programmatic companies that kind of offer these programmatic services. But at the same time, people like the fact that they're able to talk to someone and have that personal relationship. You can easily probably log into a portal, submit your creative, and it'll go up on all these locations, but you have no idea where it's going. You have no, not someone's going to send you pictures of it. Not someone's going to do drone photography for you. Not someone's going to help you with the creative aspect of it. Not someone who's going to try to tell you, okay, you know what, maybe these locations are not for you, and try to push you on a location that actually is going to work for you. So there will always be some sort of role for me in the future. It's just explaining, going back to value, explaining them the value that having an agency has, and how we can offer more for them, and just do more for them. So
I was going to say the one thing that I've noticed you guys do is, although your clients are advertising with you, you also grab the moment of their ads are running at, you know, Dundas Square or wherever it may be. And that's kind of, you know, they don't necessarily have a deliverable once their ad's on the billboard, but you're giving them a deliverable
that
they can,
you have to,
you know, talk to their.
And that's one thing I always do is, no matter what campaign you run, you'll get a shot of it, whether it's just a static shot of it or a video shot. And then you'll obviously get a POP, which is a proof of posting. So anything that's ran, you'll see how many impressions you got, how many times it played. We always typically like the bonus thing. So you obviously see like the extra bonus you got. We like to show that to the client so they see what they got, because just seeing a billboard is just seeing a billboard. What's the stats behind it? Most people don't care, but then the ones that actually care about the analytics are like, okay, you know what? I got 6 million impressions. Cool. I was only supposed to get 4. Oh, cool. I got another 2 million impressions for free. So
yeah.
They like to see that, and we like to go above and beyond, and that's what helps you grow the business and grow the account too. So
with your business, when you're not working, it must be hard to take days off. What do you do on a day off? How do you relax?
At some point of the day, relaxing, work comes up. So I'm always working in one way or another, but when I am relaxing, it's either trying to get together with some friends, maybe smoke a cigar, work on the cars, you know, car guys. So
Favorite car? What's your favorite car?
I'll tell you the cars that I have.
Okay.
Favorite cars is hard because I like a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
But I have two classic Benzes that I work on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So an 89 and 91. So I work on those for fun. But yeah, just trying to get together with some friends, enjoy a cigar, try some new restaurants, and just get creative, just creative thoughts for the business in general. So,
and do you see yourself owning a restaurant or being a part? Like you mentioned earlier, but do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
We need to hang out more. I need some cigars and food. 100%.
You know? Cigars and restaurants.
Yeah. I think maybe not like a fine dining restaurant, but I think definitely maybe like a takeout or like a pizza spot or like sandwiches or something like that. So,
would you open up a spot in Oshawa?
Depending on if
I never say never.
If I have the right real estate agent.
And you need food samplers.
Of course, 100%.
Food tasters.
100%.
So outside of fixing cars, you don't really like have a thing.
Honestly, when you're down?
Do you read?
Yeah, I read. So obviously reading, listening to podcasts and whatnot. But
favorite podcast outside of If You Build It. But
favorite podcast.
Follow us on YouTube. YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll shout out my boys who have a podcast called Money Buys Happiness. Those guys are killing it. Great podcast. Guys, they have a cool guest on. They've been growing a lot in the past 3-4 years.
Perfect.
But yeah, and just in terms of relaxing, going to the gym, boxing.
Do you play pickleball?
Pardon? Pickleball? No, but I play tennis though. Tennis. Yeah, is it a typical thing for realtors to play pickleball? Is that a thing?
Are you noticing that?
Yeah, I'm noticing it a lot, actually.
I grew up playing tennis.
Okay. I like that.
I mean, when I was in shape, I was phenomenal.
You still are? Come on.
Of course.
Different shape.
As long as I don't have to run or move, then I'm great. Pickleball is equally as fun, but not as hard on the body.
Yeah, fair.
And that's why I love pickleball. And Riyadh got into pickleball just, 8 months ago?
About that, yeah.
And Pixie's very good.
No, stop talking about it.
No, I'm good. Just long as I beat him.
I think it's a common trend with realtors because the past three realtors that I've met with, they're like, yeah, I just came to this meeting and then I have a pickleball. And
I love it.
Oh, okay. It's like 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. Don't you have clients to go see? Yeah. No, I got pickleball. I'm like, okay, cool.
For me, it's a workout. We play every week. It's a workout. It's a lot of fun. You should try it.
We should.
On the topic of like doing fun things, are you part of any any clubs, any like communities that like you actually pay for as part of like a networking session? Like, do you do anything like that?
So I was part of it was a car community sort of thing, but it was a lot of business professionals that got together and just different walks of life. One was like a CEO. We kind of did that for a little bit. I'm still in tied with them, just like the people that were part of that. The club, but just like obviously with the work, it just doesn't give me enough time to do all the things that I'd like to do. But yeah, I try.
So that was a paid event that you paid for. So it was
a membership for a club.
Yeah.
It was called Our Club.
Our Club.
So yeah, I was part of that for about a year. Got to meet a lot of people, but I'm still in touch with a lot of people, but I just didn't have enough time to go to these events and it's just, it didn't really make sense, but I try to get
drive where your Benz is. You drove one of your Benzes out here today or no?
No. Not in this weather.
So your everyday car is not a Benz?
It's a Benz as well,
Oh, excuse me.
It's like a dark blue
one. Amazing.
So,
Anything else? This is our first episode of season 2. And thank you, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Coming, driving all the way to the country.
Of course.
To the country, to the west.
The producer's
got something for us.
It'd just be obviously being disciplined and having a process and having some sort of structure. Before that, it was kind of just all over the place. I was just doing everything kind of thing. And then obviously talking to him, like DJing, for example, was one thing that I used to do. Or
you don't do that anymore?
No, I don't. Because I kind of put everything aside just to focus on one thing and just put all my focus and energy into one thing, which will create the – essentially make the craft just grow and not get distracted by everything else. So I think Nick – pre-college and pre-Ads World and pre-Z103 was kind of confused, didn't know what he was doing, and just wanted to pick at something. And I think now it's a little bit more structured, and I'd like to say at least, and it's got more of a direction that it's going into, and I think it's definitely a positive from what it was before. So
any other questions, Joseph? Your interjection was very much appreciated.
And then we were going to do one last question to kind of like end the segment. Mainly like advice to Gen Zs, like because they're, you know, they're the up and coming.
The Nick of today's world coming up, you know, what advice would you give?
What is Gen Z exactly? What age?
2000
like,
plus, I think.
Yeah, it's like they're the,
Your age?
No, come on. I'm a millennial. I'm a fine millennial.
Yeah.
You're a millennial.
What are you at 46?
You're
Old.
You're old.
Well, hey, you're still a millennial.
Yeah, I think you're
not a boomer there. Yet.
So. Oh, no, thank you for that.
So yeah, because we find like Gen Z's, you know, it's a very tough environment for them to grow up in. To your point, like confusion is very real. I mean, I think it was for everyone. Like you had career changes. I did. Yeah, we've all had career changes.
For sure.
Any like you give one advice to Gen Z's, whether it's like you know you got to fail to succeed, or you know, just be tunnel vision to what you said.
For sure,
got any advice?
I think the greatest piece of advice would be don't be so focused on the money and just try to chase everything just because it's money. And I also think put the ego aside. If you need to learn and you need to be an intern, go learn and be an intern. Put that ego aside, thinking because you know what, you're better than them or all that stuff. I think that's you need to put all that stuff aside. And a lot of people, I think, a lot of these younger kids, they have, and I sound like I'm like an old man, but they have egos.
Are you 46?
They have no, I'm not. I'm 29, but they have egos.
You're 29.
I do.
My yeah. God. All right. Wow.
They have egos. I know. I don't look it. You know. Hair.
I have no hair, but
you look like you're 21. So I don't know.
Thank you.
Come on, don't give him that much. That's it for the rest of the day. That's all we're gonna hear.
So I think they have egos. That's the biggest thing. And I think they don't want to learn. They want everything to come quick.
Is that social media? You think?
I think it's social media. I think it's a lot of different things. And I think it's just everything's so easy now that they have access to everything that we didn't. Like 10 years ago, social media wasn't as developed as it is now.
Yeah.
And I think they think everything's so easy now that, you know, by a click of a button, they can post something and they can be an influencer or like a blogger.
I wish, you know, kids had it like I had it when I was young, when we were the same age, where you had nothing. I remember we had a class in grade 12 on how to set up email. And it was 1996, and we were like, what is this? What's happening? And now it's just so commonplace.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Too much information is actually, in my opinion, what's ruining society.
Yeah. I think everything's so accessible that they don't need to do things. Like
you don't need to think.
They don't think. Like now we have ChatGPT. They don't even need to write essays because they can just have write an essay within, a minute?
Yeah.
And just change a few things. So I think some of the traditional stuff I like a little bit more, just because that gives you the foundation, the fundamentals. But I also think if it is that rare, Gen Z kid that likes something, just be passionate about what you do, put in all your effort, have that tunnel vision, and it'll pay off. Just don't think that everything comes so quick and easy. Sometimes it takes 3 years, 4 years, sometimes it takes 10 years. And don't be so focused on, things not happening quick enough, or, it happened for your friends, but it didn't happen for you. There's always that time for everyone. So you don't necessarily have to have a successful company by the time you're 21. Some people have it by the time they're 41 or 51 or 61. So it just all depends. It's all
you time. Know, when I was 29, I was not as wise as you were. I wasn't. I was working at what they're called. I wasn't that wise back then. So Nick, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Your handles are again?
It's Nick Ara and ADZ World. So
perfect.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Thank you
very much.